The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
How are you, sir?
This is Pierre.
Oh.
I can't believe I'm talking to you, Dr. A the Great.
Well, I don't know about that.
I love listening to you. You have a personality just like my father.
I don't think you should feel helpless. You are helpless.
Doctor, I really appreciate that. That makes me feel a lot better.
You be at peace, or else I'm going to yell at you.
Trying to find a reason to speak to you. I think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
That Ray, he's something.
Thank you so much for what you're doing for all the parents out there.
They don't know what I can possibly do.
I don't either.
I'm getting my money worth, I think, at this phone call.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Yeah, she meant it as a compliment, but really it was a slam. I'm getting my money's worth from this phone call. What did she pay for it? Nothing. Anyway, it sounds good. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program here is The Doctor Is In. The number to get onto the program, 877. Easy enough to remember, right? 573-7825. Now, that is not easy to remember. There isn't any kind of rhythm to that. 573-7825. Kind of hard to remember. Those numbers kind of bounce around in a random sort of sequence. Try this. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the acronym there. The L, of course, just drops off. The phone only takes the 10 digits that you give it. 877-57-EQUAL. If you'd like to be onto the program to ask a question about something in your life. Again, we're not going to do therapy here. We're not going to diagnose. And certainly I'm not going to step into the turf of another therapist. However, you got somebody bugging you in your life. Someone you know you should love, but it's getting kind of tough to like them. Or a kid's situation, a grown-up situation, adult situation, marriage situation. There really is no limit to life situations. They are as many as people themselves, and multiply that by many, many, because every single person has many different life situations. Anyone we can talk about a little bit. I don't have all the answers, but been around this block a few times, talking to a lot of people about maybe situations similar to your own. So I do my very best to talk to the person, recognizing there may be others listening who are saying, I've got that situation. So, 877-573-7825. I have a dog. The neat thing about a dog makes you feel pretty smart. I want you people to treat me like my dog does. I can say anything dumb to my dog. I can make no sense whatsoever. I can be illogical, irrational, nonsensical. And my dog will give me the look as long as I say it with the right tone of, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. Oh, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. You're just a great human being. That's what the dog does. I could look at the dog and go, you are just such a dumb doggy. And all he knows is that tone of voice. So that's what I'm going to practice doing here on the radio program. I'm going to start talking with maybe a little more of a lilt so that if I do say something particularly dumb, you'll just hear the lilt. That's all. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Many years ago, a woman, mother, came into my office. She was 36 years old. She had complaints about her 12-year-old son. We talked, trying to get to the bottom of what her upset was, and she narrowed it down to three things. She said he's lazy. He just doesn't do what he needs to do to act responsibly around the house. He watches way too much TV, and he eats too much. He's gaining weight. Now, whenever a parent comes in and tells you what's going on in their home, especially with a kid, you can't just say, Well, you need to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, because they oftentimes have a resistance to doing A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, and you got to kind of drill down to what that resistance is. Many parents who are not doing what they think they could or should be doing have reasons for this, and a lot of times those reasons are irrational. They make no sense, but you got to uncover them so you can get them past that to then do the things that they would need to do to make it better. After we talked, I got down to why she had allowed this to go on, because she clearly had. Eating too much, watching too much television, and he was lazy. She said, "Well, I'm like that. I eat too much. I'm not a good housekeeper. I'm lazy with chores. And I watch too much television." In her mind, she didn't have the right to do anything about that 12-year-old's behavior because she wasn't there yet either. At age 36, triple his age, I asked her, "Do you want your son to be like you?" "No, no, I don't." "Then you are going to have to do something about what he's doing, even though you yourself as yet don't have the self-discipline to do anything about it for you." She looked at me as if to say, I didn't think I would have the authority to do that if I couldn't live it myself. And I asked her, "Where does your authority come from as a parent? Does it come from the quality of your own maturity, your own responsibility, your own morality? Is that where it comes from? Or does it come from God put you in a position to be a parent?" "Dr. Ray, come on. You know as well as I do, if you don't live what you're trying to teach your kids, it's not going to sink in." Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's never going to sink in. I would say it's going to be a lot harder for it to sink in. But here's the problem. I'll put it personally. I want my kids to be better people than I am. I want to raise them as best I can, teaching, holding them accountable, putting limits, putting standards. Even if, in my frailty and human weakness, I don't always live up to those standards. Let's say that there are times that I would lose my temper. I'm not really a temper guy at all, but let's just use that as an illustration. That I would lose my temper. Say it happens twice a month. Does that mean I would allow, say, my 8-year-old to twice a month explode, lose his temper, get nasty, and I do nothing about it because he gets 2 freebies because I do 2 a month? Or maybe my language isn't the best. Maybe when I'm upset, I'll use words I shouldn't use. Should he be able to come up to me at age 11 and say, "You know, you do it, so don't try to say I can't"? If we were the ceiling to what our kids could become, or what we would be allowed to teach them and discipline them and hold them accountable for, on the basis of our holiness or our maturity or our virtuousness, we'd be in big trouble. There's nobody to discipline us. If I do something wrong, nobody's going to send me to my room. Nobody's going to make me write an essay. Nobody's going to make me stand in the corner. It all comes down to, am I willing to hold myself accountable in some way? And I have to be the one to do it because I don't have a parent doing it. But I'm responsible to raise my kids as best I can. Dr. Ray, normally I agree with you, but I don't agree with you on this one at all. You have got to live what you're trying to teach. Well, I'm not arguing with you on that one. But what I am saying is, if you don't allow yourself like this 36-year-old mom did. If you don't allow yourself the authority, the God-given authority to teach the kinds of qualities and virtues and standards and morals that would serve that child well, because you have your own weakness, then you're limited. Moms will come into my office all the time. I don't like who I am with my child. I argue, I get disrespectful, I say things I shouldn't say, I don't talk to anybody like I talk to my child. So therefore, they believe that the child has a certain amount of permission to talk that way to them. No, the child doesn't. We're not equals here. Now, we got to get mom to get herself under better control. True, that's the case. But she can't wait until she's perfectly under control with her mouth to then be able to put consequences on the child for his mouth. Now, will he notice that she doesn't follow the same rules? Of course he will. He'll throw it at her. Of course, there's no question. Nevertheless, as we sluggishly walk our way towards self-improvement, we can't say, well, when I get there, when I'm totally virtuous and self-improved, then I have the authority to discipline. You do that as a parent, you're going to tie your hands up pretty good. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Number to call. I'd love to talk to you. I'm Dr. Ray.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Tolkien has reached out to, you know, Nordic culture and literature and Icelandic sagas and all sorts of things. He learned a lot about the good, the true, and the beautiful from his study of pre-Christian cultures. He used narrative forms that were accessible to the culture. He adapted that to evangelical purposes. So that shows you that flexibility. It shows you a certain creativity in the evangelical art. He did not proselytize. Rather, he very delicately and indirectly and cleverly evangelized through the imagination, so that someone taking in these great stories of Tolkien or his friend C.S. Lewis, they're going to say, oh yeah, I get that. I recognize that pattern. So that finally when they hear the gospel, they'll say, yeah, I understand that. I learned that from The Lord of the Rings. I learned that pattern from the Narnia stories. That was the genius of those fellows.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Dr. Ray Grandy, big screen radio, high definition radio. Pulchritudinous, mellifluous, pugnacious, excoriate, vicissitudes. That's about as high definition as you're going to get. Good to have you with me. The number, before I go to the calls, 877-573-7825. Said it real fast, 877-57-EQUAL. Karen is calling from Sacred Heart Radio, Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Dr. Grandy. My question is, I have been divorced for about 5 years now, and we were married 22 years, and I still love my husband. I call him my husband still. I got divorced in a crisis situation. He was years of drinking and verbal abuse, not physical, but verbal. And my children were in such distress, and they were basically begging me to get him out of the house. And long story short, I ended up filing for a divorce, and I begged him while we were going through divorce to get some help, and he refused. And, you know, now, in hindsight, I do regret getting divorced. I still love him very much. I know he loves me very much. He is still drinking. I don't know to what extent because I'm not around him day to day, but we do have communication and we have grandchildren. And as much as I've tried to move on and date and all that, my heart is still locked with his. And I feel like he still loves me and I love him. And I just don't know what to do. I don't know if there's hope. We did go on 2 retrovis and it did help the marriage temporarily, but obviously in the end it didn't fix everything. So I guess my real question is, do I keep hoping and trying and reaching out? We do talk and asking him to maybe go get some counseling and give it a try again, because, you know, people are like, well, you're crazy. You should move on and forget about him. But you know what? Your heart is your heart, and I still love him. And I do pray for him every day, and I just want to fix our family. I feel like you get married once in life.
What is keeping you from saying, let's have a relationship, even if you're not living together, and you say, I'll watch and wait and hope that you will pull out of all this in time. And as that happens, as that becomes clear to me, then we could take another step getting closer together. What's wrong with that? If you still have a relationship with him, you can continue that relationship without getting into the situation where it's abusive and dangerous.
Because people say that I should move on. And
who cares what people say, Karen?
Right, because they're saying, well, okay, and part of me is saying I'm wasting my time. I should move on and try to find somebody else. But you know what? No matter how much I've tried to do that, and I've dated a few times, my heart is always thinking about him and always locked in with him.
Are you Catholic, Karen?
Yes, we're both Catholic.
So do you know that the church would still consider you married?
Well, we didn't get married in the church, unfortunately. That was a mistake. But we did not get married in the church. I wanted to after we got married, because I got pregnant before we got married, I wanted to have a Catholic wedding after that. And we were going to. But then life starts happening, and I don't know not sure what happened. So technically, we were civilly married, but not by the sacramentally married.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're saying I care for this man. There's a lot about the relationship that's beautiful and good. People are saying, you're nuts, Karen. Come on, grow up. It's going to be more of the same. Well, it's
because he's still drinking.
As heavily?
I don't know that for sure. I know he goes to a bar 3-4 times a week. It's more of a friend thing. He has a group of friends there, and they play darts and drink beer and just, you know, what guys do. But so I don't know to what extent. He doesn't drink anything more than beer. It's not like he's getting drunk and passing out, but I think drinking is a big part of his life because part of it is a social thing, too. It's not
drinking to excess?
Probably 5 or 6 beers a night.
Does he have DWIs?
In the past, he's had a couple. Okay. But not anything within the last 10 years.
There's nothing to keep you from setting terms on him, from saying, I would like to try again as a couple, but I would have to see you distinctly cutting back on how much you do drink and how much you do go to the bar with the guys. I can understand, you know, you go on a Friday and you limit yourself to 3 beers. Okay, I'm not gonna tell you can't even sip a beer, but what I want to see is if we're going to succeed in trying to have a relationship that may ultimately lead to marriage, you got to show me that's what you want too.
And if he doesn't, then I need to let it go.
Yeah, only you know how much time you want to put on it. You understand? I'm going to give him a year. I'm going to give him 6 months. And, you know, I'm going to give him till the day after tomorrow.
Right. I can't let this keep going in my head. At some point, I have to face reality that this may not be what
he may not cooperate.
Wants.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he wants the fun of me, but not maybe the commitment and the work and the responsibility.
Well, watch out for the fun of you. Be careful on that one.
No, I didn't mean mine.
Okay. But
no,
given
you know
that,
what I mean. Just having my company and having me there for dinner or to talk to and
well, and you can
to
tell
lean
him.
On for
you
support.
Can say, I want this relationship to go somewhere, but it's not gonna if you just continue what you're doing.
Okay.
All righty, my dear. Good luck to you now.
Thank you.
All right, honey. Lauren from Indiana says, interruption, contradiction. She's not doing it. Her kids are doing it. I can't. No way. I can't believe that. There's no way you. Lauren, come on. What are you trying to think? Are you trying to tell me that your kids interrupt and contradict? I've never heard of such a thing.
So, no, I'm sorry, but it is me. It's my whole family. It's the whole household.
Wait a minute. You interrupt and contradict?
Yes, I do. No,
are you going to let me? Are you going to let me talk or not?
My goodness, would you be quiet? I'm kidding. Go on.
That's cute. Well, why do you interrupt? You want to straighten people out?
I think I'm impatient.
Get to it, huh? Tell me what you want to tell me, huh?
Yes. I'm a homeschooling mother of too many and. Not too many. You know what I mean. I have a lot of kids. And we have a lot to do. It's like, spit it out because I got stuff to do. But that's my reasoning. And then I just allow it to go on because I don't even recognize it most of the time. But when things, red flags come up and it's like, wow, I can't believe I'm letting that person talk to me that way. We need to cut out that bad habit of interrupting, of contradicting. Just saying the opposite because it's more fun and I can drag out the situation and have an argument instead of getting to my chores or whatever.
Well, you're saying the kids are doing this.
We all do. Yeah. Yes, I do it.
Well, you do it because they don't shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, they like to argue more than they like to work, let's say.
What if you said, are you arguing now? When you say that, that is your signal to the children that they need to stop. And then, in your mind, you know what you're going to do if they say another word after you say, are you arguing? Because they'll do this. No, 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 I'm not arguing. I just want to say this. I just want to say this. I'm not arguing. Okay, Mom, just listen. Mom, listen. Listen, Mom. Am I doing good on that imitation? So for some reason, like I said in my opening monologue, for some reason, you are allowing them to interrupt you, to contradict you, to argue with you. Do you know what that reason is?
I guess for the same reason that she let her kid do what she did, I guess because it just... I have no reason to, I have no right to stop you from doing what I already do.
Well, your mom, first of all, that gives you some rights, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. But you don't like these questions. You don't like the questions when they say, how do I do it? You say, you just do it. But it's not, I don't realize that we're doing it until we've done it.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, all right, I'm going to go out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to tell you how. So you stay right there because that music says I gotta take a break. That music's interrupting me. And half the time it contradicts me. This is Dr. A. Don't go away, Lauren.
Family Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We have to remember that God gave us a brain, and he did give us talented people in the medical field, some of whom, not all, unfortunately, are following the science. And we need to do the same. We need to take precautions and, again, use common sense and our heads. But we can't go around living in fear, not doing what we are called to do. And in many cases, that is to travel, to go see loved ones, to go on a retreat, to maybe go on a pilgrimage. We have to be, at all times, a people of faith. And we have to remember that the phrase, be not afraid, appears some 365 times in Scripture. Coincidence? I think not.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, my people perish. Or in another translation, my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God, but not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
A little bit of Anton Carlos Jobim. That kind of bossa nova-ish. Can't really say bossa, no. It's too much like boss. It's kind of authoritarian. Can't really use that. Okay, I am talking to Lauren from Indiana. Poor Lauren. She gets into it with her kids. They argue, they interrupt, they negotiate, they contradict her. And so what does she do? Well, she does the same thing back. I would imagine that Lauren doesn't start out interrupting and contradicting. Usually when the kids get the conversation rolling, then Lauren says, well, stop it. Okay, wait a minute. No, I'm going to argue with you. You're nine. I'm going to argue too, like a nine-year-old. You still there, Lauren? Yeah. All right.
Yes. But, Dr. A, I need to interrupt you. I need to tell you something.
As long as you don't contradict me, that's okay.
Okay, you need to do audiobooks. All your books, read them and do audiobooks, and I will buy them all.
Well, I did. I put all of my books on audio. The problem is they discontinued them. They decided that most people are downloading books. They're not getting CDs anymore. They don't want to pay the $30 or $40 for the whole CD series. Now, you can download one of my books from my website, and I think you'd have to go to other places like Audible or something like that, and they have some of the others. Contact Sophia Press. They've published my most three or four most recent, and they're affiliated with EWTN. Okay, so after I've interrupted and contradicted you, you said, how can I get myself to realize I'm doing that?
Yeah.
You're not going to get yourself to do it immediately, because what will happen, Lauren, is you'll be into it before you finally realize, hey, what am I doing here? Could be a minute, could be a minute and a half, could be 4 minutes. The instant you realize you're doing it, that you're getting down on that child's level and you're dragging this conversation out because all they want to do is argue and wear you down, which probably they succeed some of the time. You know that. Because there's six of them and there's one of you. So
how did you know?
I'm good. I'm just good. So given that, As soon as you hear yourself arguing, because obviously you know you're arguing because you called me and you said, I do that. So you know you do it. You're just saying, I want to catch myself earlier. Okay, well, you will. And the way you'll do that is the instant you catch yourself, maybe it's 3 minutes into the arguing, you say, what am I doing? Then you look at the child and say, no more arguing, we're done. If they go beyond that, you have a ready consequence, whether it's the corner, whether it's an essay, whether it's in their room. I don't care. Whatever it is, you have a consequence. Because you want to teach them as soon as you say, no more arguing, we're done, or are you arguing? That means end it. It's done. I've made my decision. I've made my ruling. This is what I hope for. This is what I expect. I'm not going to negotiate anymore. Now, what will happen is like lifting weights. The first 10 times you do this, you're going to catch yourself late in the argument. You're going to say, man, oh, man, this thing started 6 minutes ago, and I just realized I'm doing it. That's okay, because as you get better at it, you're going to hear yourself sooner. You'll get to the point where you'll hear yourself as soon as you begin to argue. My wife got real good at that, and we had some real good negotiators. And her pet phrase was, are you arguing? And that meant you'd better stop right now or I'm going to do something about this. And typically the kids just went, no, no. And she'd go, good. That's good to hear. Besides, I deal with, do you have my Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime book?
I do.
Okay, it's in there.
I get up to read it, and then I fall asleep.
Ah, well, you can't tell me it doesn't work when you don't read it. You know, that book didn't do me any good. Well, did you read it? No.
I have. I've read it over, but
I have a section in there about arguing. I call it the last word or something like that, and I talk about how to end that.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to reread it, but I think I've got my answers. But I'll still reread it because I promise you that, and I stick to my promises.
And I'm sorry for interrupting
Except
you all
for
the
interrupting.
Times. Yeah, all the times I did. You know, I get people who email me, and they'll say, don't interrupt your callers. And I sometimes have to say, well, if I didn't, we've got to go in a certain direction in a certain amount of time. All righty, Lauren.
Your program.
Yeah, there you go. I never threw that one at him, but one of these times I will.
You should.
Thank you, dear, for the
Thanks
call,
for
okay?
Everything.
I'll talk to you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for everything, huh? Everything. Wow, I feel pretty special on that one. We have another Lauren, I think. Unless there was a vowel left out of that. Lauren from, there it is. There's the vowel. Lauren is calling from Oregon. She has what sounds like a general question. Not sure it's a general question. It's a specific question that is to be sounding general. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
You're more than welcome. I didn't take it. Eric did.
Well, yeah, he did. He said I might have to do a little gymnastics with you explaining this. But anyways, basically, I am trying to ask a question. I know I've heard you talk about narcissists before. I have been living with one for 36 years. And yes, we're married. We got married in the Catholic Church when we were young, and I thought he was a practicing Catholic. But we're not here to talk about his faith. What I need help on is, as he is getting older, this narcissistic brain has taken him to the point that now he thinks something has happened and somebody else has done it, and blames other people for doing things, knows darn well that he didn't do it. He couldn't have made a mistake. I believe it just cost him his job. But now he's saying, well, you know, getting to the point where I need to, you know, start thinking about myself and retiring, which was not his plan at all. I don't know how to act around him anymore. I try to be meek. I try to be quiet. I try to let it go in one ear and out the other.
But he keeps talking. He wants to hear himself talk. He wants to hear himself lecture. He wants to hear him. And I am at the point in my life where silence is golden. Can we just, you know, have a quiet evening? And then he gets mad at that. So how do you deal with people that when they get older and they're narcissists, it's real hard to live with them? What do you do?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Dr. Well, Ray. I couldn't have stumped you.
You stay right there. You got to give me at least 2 minutes to think about this. 877-573-7825 is the number. 877-57-EQUAL. You call now. You still get on. We choose calls on various dimensions, not necessarily when you called. Now, Catechism Wisdom with me, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Father Larry Richards.
Father Larry, church talks a lot about charity, right? Let me read to you something that the Catechism says, section 2447. The works of mercy are charitable actions by which we come to the aid of our neighbor in his spiritual and bodily necessities. Instructing, advising, consoling, comforting are spiritual works of mercy. My profession says that we need to have people meet our needs. Now, this here seems to be a little, I don't want to say antagonistic, but maybe contrary to that.
The way of the world says me, me, me. The way of God says you, you, you. And when we sit there and we focus on the reality, it's in giving away your life, Jesus says, you find life. That is so anti-world, isn't it?
I serve to feel better?
Exactly. That's where we get everything. It's in giving away your life that you find life. That's the cross. That's the way of Christianity.
That's contrary to conventional wisdom.
Yeah, and that's the point.
Okay. Well, enough said there. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, catechism puts things on its head according to conventional wisdom.
Absolutely. Jesus comes and changes the world and turns the world upside down and says, you want life, then you give away life. And it's in that that we find true life. It's in serving that we become more fully who we are. As God left heaven, if you will, became a man and gave his life for us. And when we do the same, just as he found eternal life in his humanity, so will we. A life of self is a wasted life. God says, I'll take care of number one. You take care of others. And when you give away and you live a life of service, that's when you're going to find life.
So others are number one.
You got it. I have a thing that says, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. The life of joy, huh? That's the exact opposite of what the world says. But when you do that, you will have a joyful life.
Thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program, the doctor is in. The number to get onto the program is 877-573-7825. I'm talking with Lauren. Lauren is at the very, sounding like, limit of her frustration. She said for 36 years, the marriage hasn't been so smooth, but now as he's gotten older, he's doing some things that are even harder for her to manage, live with, tolerate. Lauren, how old is your husband?
He is 63, will be 64.
64. Do you notice a qualitative difference in his personality? In other words, he was always, as you see it, difficult to live with, but now the changes have become more extreme?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, amplified. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You have no idea where this is coming from?
No.
No big changes in his life? Nothing like that?
No. You know, no. It's just his personality has just gotten more and more and more, unless, you know, he is I don't tolerate drinking. I do not tolerate drinking, him drinking in the house. And I know he sneaks that sometimes, and maybe the drinking when he drinks, and I don't know he's drink, maybe it comes out more. But like I said, I think he lost his job over this personality, and he's known this guy since his whole career. And came down to a personal thing, you know, with his boss, and he lost his job. And the way he's looking at it now is, oh well, I'm not glad that I lost my job. I am thinking now I'm more ready to retire a little bit more and work less.
Mm. So he's making excuses.
Always. Mm. If there's anything that would make him look negative, he puts a spin on it to where
I can tell you what not to do. Don't argue with him.
Oh.
Don't try to reason with him. That's what's frustrating you.
I know.
And you've been.
I know.
Well, Lauren, who's the slow learner here? 36 years. That is not enough time for you to realize when you're going to get nowhere in trying to persuade him to look at things a little differently?
Well, I look at it as carrying my cross, you know, when I was younger, and thought maybe that he would, you know, all of my religion and going to church and everything would someday rub off on him. I'm not stupid. I know I'm not going to change him, but, you know, we're married, and for better, for worse, I just thought maybe you would have some tricks besides, you know, even shutting up and not answering.
That's your best move. That is by far your best move, because every time you don't shut up and you answer, you just give him more fuel to keep going.
He says things that are so wrong, you just want to wring his neck.
And I'll bet when he says those things that are so wrong and you speak up to correct him, he says, oh, you know, you're right. What I just said was so wrong. Thank you for speaking up and arguing with me. That really helps.
I try to put duct tape on my mouth or go in the other room now.
You know why you can't shut up?
Know.
You know why you can't shut up? Because in your mind, I shouldn't have to live like this. I shouldn't have to put up with this. This is ridiculous. When is he going to stop?
Yeah, it's childlike behavior.
Well, that's what you're thinking.
Instead
of saying to yourself, my goal is to get out of this as quick as I can. Now, I don't mean the marriage. I mean the interchange.
Yeah.
You engage, and you've been engaging. And every time you do, well, when was the last time he said, ooh, good point, Lauren. Good point. Thank you.
Once in a blue moon.
1984.
But I usually retreat in the back of the house when he's like that. I just say, okay.
Why don't you just say, I don't want to argue. I'm not going to argue. I'm done.
Okay, yeah, I've said that many times and gone in the other room.
There you go.
And sometimes you'll chase me in the other room, and
but
I'll
you know what
say,
you're
no,
saying?
Not in here.
You're saying even when I do that, it doesn't work because he keeps doing
right.
it. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I want a way to make him stop doing that. Well, there is no way. How are you going to do that? All you have to do is to make it as little grating on you as possible, whether it's to go in another room, whether it's to look at him with a dumb look on your face and just stare at him. Until he finally realizes he's gonna burn himself out because you're just staring at him.
Well, that's a good one. I haven't tried that.
In 36 years, you haven't come up with that one?
To just stare at him?
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You have to, well, you don't have to do anything, but it would do you well to recognize the only power you have is to keep yourself from getting upset, because you're not really going to change his style.
That's correct. And when I go to confession and talk to the priest, I always talk about trying to keep my virtue, keep my virtue, keep my virtue, and not let him take my grace away. Yeah, I know.
Well, you fight with him. You fight with him.
I don't like to fight with him.
But you do.
Not all the time. Not lately. No.
Okay. Well, then good. You're stepping in the right direction.
Okay. I thought I was. You're going to give me a life-changing answer here.
You know, my dear, I've been a shrink for over four decades, and I learned many, many things. And one of the big things I learned is you can't change another person if they don't want to be changed.
That's true. Okay.
You got to realize
that.
You got to find your own peace, whether that means you go get in a car and go get some ice cream or something. Say, look, I'm not going to listen to this. I'm out of here.
Yeah, you're right. I do. I do. I know how to find peace like that. I will.
All righty.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. I'll talk to you.
Keep me in your prayers.
They got a lot of people who listen to the program who pray for the folks who call in. So that's
you got more than me.
All righty. 877-573-7825. Got time for one more if you want to try to get in. We'll see. What's that? You pays your money and you takes your chance. In this case, you don't pay any money.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Is that 1960s or what, Andrew? Making a comment on my age? All right. Got time for Marion from Florida, where it's 80 degrees, as opposed to here, where it's 8 degrees. And these piles in the Home Depot parking lot are going to be here until July 7th. Hi, Marion. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, Dr. Ray?
I appreciate your call. You had a son there who's had a long relationship with a girl, huh?
Yes, it's actually my godson and nephew. He's 19 years of age. He's been dating since he was 16, from high school. 3 years they were dating, and had a very close love relationship. And day before yesterday, all of a sudden, the girl said she doesn't want to be in the relationship until he changes. she wants him to be, I guess, more grown up or do more for her, which he does do a lot. They were always together, always. So, of course, he's going through the pain of a separation like that. And we are a very close-knit family, and we'd like to know what we can do to help him.
Does he want to talk to anybody? Does he want to talk to anybody?
Yes, his mom found a counselor, and he went yesterday, but he did not want to discuss much. He said that they were getting to know each other.
Okay. Well, there's nothing stopping you guys from getting together with him, letting him talk about it. I would ask him, what did she say that you weren't doing or that she felt you weren't growing up fast enough? What did she say? What was it? Get him to tell you that and then say, do you agree with her? Because you want to get some idea of how he sees himself.
He doesn't have very much self-esteem. A very high self-esteem. I think that's part of the problem. He thinks that, yes, he is the one that's doing everything wrong, that she's perfect. His brother talked to him because his brother also had a bad experience in a relationship, but he came through it. And he thinks that he needs to change and that he's going to change and
that's good.
Go back with her. But I don't know. The family we don't see that he is mm-hmm. seeing the whole picture, that she might be demanding too much because he leaves, he drives her everywhere, even though she drives. He drives out of his way to take her to the to school, to pick her up, to take aspirin if she has a headache.
Marion, what do you want to tell him about this relationship? Do you want to step in and say, I think this is going to be good that you guys aren't together anymore because, in fact, I think she kind of took advantage of you. What do you want to tell him?
I don't want to put words into, thoughts into his mind because I know that he's still in love. And, this might turn out to be, they might go back together. So I don't want to be one to tell him this. She's not the right girl for you.
Well, you can just listen to him as he describes it.
Yeah.
And he says things like, I drive her everywhere. And then you say, what do you think about that? Yeah. Why doesn't she drive herself?
Right.
You're going to explore the things that he tells you. You're not going to say, well, then it sounds like you're better off without her. You're not going to say that. But as he says things, she says, I don't work hard enough, but I have two jobs. What do you think about that you're not working hard enough? How did she get that idea? Well, I don't know how she gets that idea because she always tells me I'm this, 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 and this, and I don't think I am. So what do you want to do about it? Do you want to try to change your mind, or do you think that she'll always view it that way? I mean, you just kind of got him to get him to understand how this all came about and what his role is in it. And what he sees her as being reasonable or not reasonable. He's got to sort through it. Because my guess would be at age 19, he's probably not going to have a real good sense of what happened. How did it get to this point? It may have been for the last year she's been telling him, you're drifting. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. Maybe she's in school. Maybe he's not in school. Whatever it might be, he's lost four jobs. I don't know, but for the last year, if this has been coming, then it would behoove you to talk with him and say, okay, so what is it about you that she thinks it's best that she's not with you anymore? What did she tell you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to get down to.
Yeah,
but he's seeing a counselor, though, so you got to maybe just leave it up to the counselor to explore this stuff. And you just be the one that go out to breakfast with him and have breakfast and see what he opens up with, what he starts to talk about. He's probably thinking he's going to make it all better and they'll get back together again. It's probably where he's at.
That's what he's thinking right now, not seeing that maybe the two of them need to change, not just him. to improve, because we could always improve. But, you know, he goes to school. He wants to be a pilot. He's got one of his licenses already. He's doing very well in school, and he works part-time. Well,
he's pretty busy, and he's working his way through school. Sounds pretty responsible. So if she's saying this and this and this and this is all wrong with you, he's got to decide if, in fact, it is wrong with him or it's the way she's looking at it. That's what he's really got to sort through.
Right.
Thank you, Marion. God bless you for your caring, dear. I appreciate the company. This get-together here on The Doctor Is In. Andrew Grucek, producer man, and Eric Dumont, call screamer man. Delighted to have you with me. Good Lord permitting. See you tomorrow. Talk with you. Walk with God. Always walk with God. And if you fall down, get up.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.